You're listening to an LA Kings podcast. For more episodes of this and every other Kings program, visit lakings.com/podcast.
You're listening to All the Kings Men, the official podcast of the LA Kings. Now, here's your host, Jesse Cohen.
When it comes to a starting lineup, everybody loves the starter from Jack Black. Loaded with superior skincare that the pros love, LA Kings fans can get the starter for just $10, shipping included. Available exclusively at getjackblack.com with the code TEAMJB, the starter has four of Jack Black's best-selling skincare and shave products, plus a full-size intense therapy lip balm, SPF 25 in natural mint. Here's to the winning combination of the LA Kings and the starter from Jack Black. $10 plus free shipping, available at getjackblack.com with the code TEAMJB while supplies last.
The LA Kings are set to debut their new, not only jerseys, but gloves, helmets, an entire kit, as they would say, across the pond. Joining us to talk about it, Rich Hammond. How are you doing today, Rich?
Jesse, it's good to talk to you.
And featuring Zach Dooley. How are you doing today, Zach?
Jesse, great to be here. Always happy to be featured.
That's right. So, Rich, you have you cover the LA Rams now, and you have been logging their record in all of their various different uniforms. So, in your professional opinion, how important is a team's ensemble to their winning record?
Well, it's clearly critical. I mean, it is the most important thing, other than, you know, having a star player. What color you wear? The Rams has been funny because they have now turned into basically the Oregon Ducks of the NFL. They have now worn eight different uniform combinations in their 10 games, which it would not fly in the NHL from what I remember. But it's been interesting, and fans like to track it. It started off, as these things often do, with something silly, keeping track of the suit color that Stan Kroenke wore during games. He had been known to start wearing tan suits. So we started tracking when he wore the tan suit and whether or not they won. It was a lucky suit for a while. Now, not so much. So it's like, you know, having the lucky stick that works for a while, and then you just break it and move on to a new one. So yeah, it's been very interesting to track the Rams uniforms.
I apologize for not paying closer attention to the Rams or what they wear, but do the helmets change with the uniforms?
No, they've been pretty strict about that. You know, the NFL has they're weird because they'll let you change all of the uniform combos. But like, if your sock has a stripe on it that your teammates doesn't have, like, you're going to get fined $10,000 or something like that. So they have very strict but strange rules about these sort of things. So you can change the logo that's on the helmet at times, like the Rams a couple of years ago. Changed back and forth. They went with a white horns versus a yellow horns, but the helmet had to stay the same color. So they can only wear the blue helmet, and they've only been wearing the yellow decals on it.
What's interesting with the NFL, Rich, is like, you can change the pants. So you could go, you could have one jersey that has like six records, right? Because you can change different parts of the logo. But we don't see that in hockey. It's only kind of an NFL thing.
Yeah, they make you be real strict with that sort of thing. And yeah, even like I said, the NFL is weird because they let you do all of that. But then they're like, if you've changed your pattern, you can't change it again for 5 years. So they're like, on one hand, they're super strict about things. But on other hands, they're like, yeah, if you're slightly off, it would be like, you know, imagine in hockey, like if you had tape in a different area than your teammate, then they're like, no, you can't do that. Your tape has to be exactly the same as your teammate's tape, or your skates have to be exactly the same as your teammate's skates. Like, it's a very weird, like, things that they choose to enforce and what they give you a ton of latitude on.
If the tape jobs had to be the same, Arthur Kaliev would be in a lot of trouble, I think.
Like a lot of guys, or like, if you had to use the same color or anything like that, like, this is really weird.
Arthur Kaliev would be in CD Lamb territory, I think, pretty quick.
So the Kings, Rich, are debuting not only a new jersey, but white gloves and chrome helmets. As the master of Southern California athletic fashion wear, I'm curious your thoughts on white gloves and chrome helmets.
Yeah, the crumb. I mean, have we seen that outside of Vegas yet? I don't know whether anybody else has gone to the
Kings
to the crumb.
Wore them in the outdoor game against
the outdoor game. Yeah. Okay, they don't bother me. I don't know. I wouldn't want to see it full time, but I see sometimes the pictures from Vegas when they show up on AP or on Getty, and I'm like, yeah, that really kind of pops, you know. I'll have to see the full package. I love the uniforms, and like, I will admit my bias. I think it's always important to admit your bias, and those are my uniforms. I mean, that is the Gretzky era. You know, I was almost 11 years old when Gretzky got traded. That's why I first started following hockey. To me, it's not that I dislike any of the other uniforms, but that particular one, when I see it, will always say LA Kings to me. And everybody's different on that. Like, people who grow up, you know, if you're a college student now, you associate with the current uniforms because they won the Stanley Cup in 2012 and 2014 wearing those. And those are the ones that you're always going to remember, that you're always going to carry with you. For me, it's those, you know, white, silver, black, the Chevy logo, Los Angeles Kings across the front with the stripes at the bottom. That's my Kings jersey. And I think they did a real nice job with it. I'm excited to see how that looks on the ice, maybe with the white gloves. I don't know. I remember Terry Murray used to always talk about the white gloves and the white skates that the Oakland Seals wore. And he used to tell funny stories about how they picked up so much dirt and puck marks and things like that. So I like it. I like the design, and I'm excited to see how it looks on the ice.
There's obviously, this is something I've learned since being here, is there is so much nostalgia and such an emotional tie to these, to this logo and to those Gretzky jerseys. And sometimes you see teams, they try to take an iconic mark or an iconic jersey and tweak it just a bit and it ruins it.
Yeah.
I thought that this was a cool way to take that jersey, keep the history and the theme of that jersey, but also put some modern touches onto it with the cool helmets, with the white gloves. And I'm excited to see it just in action. Like, you see the pictures, you see certain things individually, but you don't get a feel for these things until you actually see them on the ice.
It's sorry, Rich, I'm going to hop in real quick here. Sorry.
Yeah,
it's
please.
Funny. I lean probably more towards Rich's position, obviously, because I'm part of that.
Sure.
Right. Like, I'm a Gretzky kid. We've talked in the past about the different eras of entrance for Kings hockey. And so for me, right, it was late 80s, early 90s. But to me, the fact that the gloves and the helmet are different writes a pass to change the jersey, right? Like, if they were going with a normal glove, you know, helmet, everything, I'd sort of look at the tweaks they made and I might turn my nose up at it. But now it's different, right? Like, the white gloves and the silver helmets.
Well, that's kind of what I was going for.
Yeah, yeah.
In
they
a different
are
way
different,
of saying
yeah.
it, right? Like, it's not just taking and leaving part of it the same. It's like, it's the same logo. It's got the same nostalgia, the same connection, but it's a totally different uniform.
Yeah. And we will have to see what it looks like on the ice. Sorry, Rich, I cut you off there.
No, I'm it actually accelerated my point even, because I was going to say nostalgia is a weird thing, especially when you're dealing with things like that. And I just saw it with the Rams, because, not to get too, it's not a Rams podcast, but
well, it is now.
Last year they rebranded their entire uniform set. And what you had was a lot of people who said, just leave it the same. Like, use the uniforms that you used in the 80s. I love those uniforms. And then you had some people who said, use the uniforms that you used in the 60s. I love those uniforms. Well, you can do that, I guess. You can just roll out the same ones that you used to wear. But what you want to do is exactly what you guys are talking about. You want to have that same feel. You want people like Jesse and I to look at those uniforms and say, ah, that reminds me, that's Kings hockey to me. But you don't want to roll the exact same thing out. You want it to look a little bit different. You want to put your own modern little spin on it. And I think people got a little frustrated with the Rams because they went a little far. They went a little far in their tweaks, I guess you could say. It's basically the same colors, but they changed the logo dramatically. They changed even the way the horns look on the helmet, so that when you look at it, you kind of go, yeah, that's the same colors, but gosh, it really doesn't remind me of that nostalgia. It doesn't bring back that nostalgia. And I think the Kings have hit a pretty good sweet spot here in terms of, yeah, you don't just want to roll out the same jersey that Gretzky wore. You can do that, but this is something that's a little bit different, but still captures the theme or the flavor of what we all remember.
So longtime listeners of this podcast will know this, and Zach is slowly beginning to learn it. I am a fan of odd diversions in topic of conversation. So we've been talking about nostalgia, and one of my favorite little trivia nuggets is that nostalgia, the word, the concept, actually originated as a bad thing. Alja means pain, and it was a physician in like the Swiss army or something describing the soldiers who were emotionally troubled by remembering home, right? Like, they didn't want to be on the battlefield. They were thinking about home. And so nostalgia was a negative. It was like, oh, this
wow.
is a pain of remembrance. Somehow we've sort of turned it into like, oh yeah, remember the 80s or whatever? And it's like, no, it's not. So to our point, you know, I think, for example, the reverse retro project that the league launched last year was a really perfect way of handling everything we're talking about, right? Yes, we're paying homage to the past. We're remembering old things, but we're giving it and we're doing something new with it. We're not just, you know, wading into these old memories and letting them stagnate. We're being creative with it. And I'm going to harp on it again. To me, the white gloves are spectacular. I just really, really like them. And Rich, to your point, I'm not sure that I'd want to see them every game. Same with the buckets. Although, and I don't know when I started calling helmets buckets, but
the more you work in hockey, I think
it just becomes
like a natural transition into buckets.
I'm still not doing nicknames, but I know that there are some leagues in Europe where the team's leading scorer will wear a gold helmet. So I guess we're not doing that, but
we're not quite there yet.
No. And this was really just an opportunity to dump everything that was in my brain. I don't really have a point here.
When I worked in the ECHL, one game a year, the one selected player had to wear a different jersey for a game for some promotion that the league did. And the goalie had to wear like this differently colored jersey. It looked like a soccer game.
That's great.
For one game to auction off for charity. And I hated it personally, but it could be great if you like that kind of thing.
I mean, for fan appreciation night, if the goalie wore a different jersey, that'd be fun. But Zach, I think you have some questions for Rich, non-jersey related.
I had a couple. Since this is the official hockey podcast of the LA Rams,
that's right.
I wanted to know, Rich, how different is it to cover a team that plays one game a week versus a team that plays 3 to 4 games a week?
Yeah, very different. And different doesn't mean good or bad, but there's so much. There's obviously it goes without saying, but there's so much focus on every game. I mean, a loss, the Rams lost on Monday night to the 49ers, and it's the biggest thing in the world. Whereas if the Kings or any hockey team, if you lose two games in a row, fine. You know, you've got the next three games to make up for it, and then you're back on track. It's this thing that just kind of sits with you for an entire week and colors everything that you do. So it's very strange to have one game, one event that you then either spend days looking forward to it, or then you spend days dissecting it and looking back on it. Just doesn't happen in hockey because you're on to the next one. I mean, it's my, you know, favorite Jonathan Quick, you know, quote after every game was just 2 points on to the next one. And that's really the mindset that you have on hockey. You don't dwell too much on one game, whether it's positive or negative, because you've got 82 of them and you just can't spend that time worrying about every individual game. Whereas NFL now with 17 games instead of 16, every game imagine if the Kings only played 17 games in a season, what that would be like, the attention that we would spend on every single game and every single facet of every single game. So to me, that's the big difference. I liked the rhythm of hockey, where it was kind of you looked more at trends, you looked more at kind of the longer view of how things were going. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the storytelling aspect of it more. On the other hand, every game feels very big in the NFL. So when you go to it, it feels like an event. It's not just a Tuesday game against, you know, Detroit. It's a big Sunday, you know, 70,000 people there, and this is a huge event. So I guess it has its positives and negatives.
It's a great way to come full circle. I think everything has its positives and its negatives, right? I always wondered that. You know, look, I've always worked in hockey, but all these other sports have these different schedules. In football, it's just like this marquee day of the week that's just dominated by NFL football. Whereas hockey, you know, you can play on any day at any time, and it's just so different.
Right. And the further extreme is baseball, where they play every single day. And it's like, I covered baseball for a while. And after a while, you don't even watch the games anymore. You just kind of casually like look up and, oh, yeah, that's what's going on. Yeah, okay, cool. You know, like it 162 games just feels like something.
Well, thanks to the analytics movement, I don't have to watch the hockey games anymore either.
Yeah, you just look at the numbers.
Exactly.
Yeah. There we go. So Rich, I assume you came prepared with this information, but what was the LA Kings record in white jerseys during the 2008-2009 season?
the white jerseys? I don't even – is that 2008-9? Is that when they switched over? Were they wearing the current ones then?
Gosh, I couldn't even tell you. I picked a number and a calendar to set up my next question as a joke.
I don't remember – I mean, do you guys remember? I don't ever remember. Obviously, we made a lot about the Burger King, you know, a lot of jokes about the Burger King jerseys. But I don't ever remember a Kings jersey being seen as like jinxed or lucky.
Rich.
What am I missing? What am I forgetting?
In 1999, they switched from the quote unquote Gretzky era jerseys to the shield with the lion with the sunglasses and the crown. Yes. In 2002, 2003, I don't remember which year exactly. I should know this. I'm going to say it was 03, 04. No, it was 02, 03. It's definitely 02, 03. They changed, apologies to everybody listening to this, including Zach. They changed the primary jersey from the shield to the crown.
Okay, remember that.
And then the purple jersey changed from the crown to the shield.
And that became the alternate.
Yeah, that was the year that they set the record for man games lost to injury.
Oh.
And the theory was that taking the shield away from the front of the jerseys exposed the team to injury. They let their shield down, and then they set the record in 02, 03, and then they obliterated the record in 03, 04. And then, of course, 04, 05 never happened. And it was all because of the jersey change.
Obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So before Jesse with his actually great story about what was going on here, 11 games, Rich, that the Kings will wear these new jerseys this year. What's the record going to be in these 11 games?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, look good, play good, right? Like that's my theory. So I'm expecting, let's see, 11 games. That's 22.
Is it really points. That many?
Yep. 11 games.
Okay. Wow. All right.
I'll say like I'm gonna say 11 out of the 16 points.
Okay.
Wait.
What did you say? 22. Yeah. All right. I'm really bad at math. All right. I'm gonna say 16 out of the 22. Then
we've established the total number of points, Rich. Yeah. So I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a perfect segue
Man.
Taylor Swift re-releasing her album Red, I believe.
Speaking of curses.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, Rich, is it with the re-release of the album, is it, and with the team on a win streak, are we tempting fate to suggest that the Swift, I'm not advocating for this. I was definitely in the camp of leave it down. How much fire are we playing with if we talk about putting the banner back?
The team's Jesse, why would you do that?
I mean, I would.
The team is on a winning streak. Like things are going well. You're winning without Drew Doughty. Your young guys are coming along, and you want to do that? You want to put the banner back up? Oh my goodness!
Full disclosure: I never wanted it up in the first place, but I know I'm getting in trouble for saying that.
New LA Kings winning streak (parentheses Taylor's version).
That's right. Oh, that see, there you go.
Oh, there you go.
There we go. Yeah. We'll start it off tomorrow.
I'd actually be curious to see a warm up jersey in the style of the banner.
Oh, that would be great!
Right, like auction it off.
Jesse, you would be an excellent like ECHL marketing guy.
That's my future. Like,
in that league, you can wear whatever the heck you want.
Why I said warm-up jersey. We get creative with warm-up jerseys.
That could be your thing. You could be an ECHL jersey marketing guy. You come up with these incredible promotions. And in that league, as long as it sells tickets, you can wear whatever you want.
I'm just thinking about selling the jerseys. I mean, the market.
How about like a bobble banner? Like you could instead of a bobblehead, you get a little banner
Zach, you and I need to talk to marketing before.
Before
we post this episode.
I think so.
Rich, I think that is going to do it. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course. My pleasure, guys.
And what did we say? 16 out of 22 points.
You can hold me to that.
All right. We will. All right. Thank you, Rich Hammond.
All right. Take care.
All right, big thanks to Rich Hammond for joining us to talk about the LA Kings' new jersey, which they will be wearing against the Washington Capitals. And Zach Dooley, those jerseys on sale today.
On sale today. I'm kind of going, maybe I go to the store and look for one of those chrome buckets. I wish those were kind of on sale too. But I'll take the jersey because the jerseys are pretty awesome too. Hope to see some of those in the stands in Staples Center because it's a cool jersey. Rich Hammond likes it.
Yeah.
And if Rich Hammond likes it, he's projecting 8 wins in this jersey this year. I'm predicting 11.
Well, 16 points. Those 16
points that could be a variety of ways. Yeah. You're right. So there is a minimum number of wins they have to get. But 16 points in these jerseys is good. Obviously, 22 points that I predicted is better. But the moral of the story right now is you can own this jersey while the Kings have no points because they haven't worn them in a game yet. You can own it first.
That's
right. Have it before the Kings actually play in it.
Now, white gloves are a big deal with the matriarchs of my family. Maybe these jerseys are an excuse for people to start wearing white gloves in public.
I want to get a pair of these after the season and wear them in open hockey.
I
think that's what I want is just a pair of these gloves. I don't think I have the swagger to wear the chrome helmet
right
in an adult skate.
Sure.
Because you got to be good and not care that you know you're good to wear that helmet in an adult skate. But the white gloves, I think I could pull off, and I'll maybe get one of the jerseys to wear at home.
Now, what do you do if you show up and there's a guy wearing not only the white gloves, also a chrome bucket, but also one of the Kings logos neck chains, the oversized?
I'd say hi, because that person's probably Matt McElroy, graphic designer for the Ontario Reign. No doubt about that.
So not only do the jerseys go on sale and are they debuting, but because the LA Kings won 7 in a row and now have a 7-game homestand, for a short period of time, ending November 17th at noon, all tickets during that 7-game homestand are 25% off.
It's pretty cool. 7 for 7.
That's
love
right.
The comparison. Thankfully, the team supported us by winning 7 straight
That's
games,
right.
But not 8, so that we could run this promotion, but you know what? The LA Kings are now 3 games over 500, and now you have the opportunity to see that team with some great opponents, some great individuals in town, and you get a chance to do it for 25% off. Sounds like a win for everyone, including the Kings, times
That's
7.
Right. So if you haven't already got tickets to this, to any of the games on this homestand, and there are plenty of options as far as time, day, etc., go ahead and go to
lakings.com/tickets25.
Check out the opportunity to pick up a ticket to any of those games. Zach, is there any one particular game on this homestand that you're most looking forward to? Because there are 2 for me.
Well, Jesse, we'll start with the one that's coming up tonight.
Yeah.
Alexander Ovechkin recently moved into 4th all-time in goals. And I'm just hoping that he doesn't move into 3rd all-time in goals here tonight. I don't think it's going to happen.
He's
24 away. It's unlikely that he's going to score 3 Ovech tricks tonight, if you remember that old commercial with the Ovech tricks.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to do that tonight.
Unlikely.
But still, you know, it's a history-making season, and the fact that he's moved into the top 5, he'll likely be in the top 3 by the end of it. Cool to see a guy like that in person. I mean, he's an all-timer, so anytime you get a player like that come into Staples Center, it's obviously pretty exciting.
I suppose.
You suppose. Well, hopefully he doesn't add to the tally, and then it'll be very exciting.
I'm sure he will. He always does, it seems. But the 2 games for me are Sunday against the Arizona Coyotes. I have personally circled that as I think that's actually a bigger test, and I've said this before already in the podcast, but I think that's a bigger test than Washington or Carolina. Washington and Carolina are teams that you know how good they are. Right?
Sure.
There are
elite, top of the league teams.
100%. Arizona is that trap game on the schedule. So I would expect the Kings to, even if their execution maybe suffers a little bit against Washington and Carolina, I would expect them to emotionally be up for those games. Maybe take a break against Arizona. I'm super curious to see that. And then the Ducks, which I believe is the final game of the homestand. First game of the year between those 2 teams, and the Ducks are, at least for now, we'll see where we are 6 games from now, but at least for now, as hot as the Kings.
Yeah, they are. Ducks have been surging. You know what's kind of crazy is...
Sorry, second to last game. Calgary's the
second to last game, which, you know what's really interesting is we're now 15 games in. We'll be 20 games in by the time Anaheim comes to town.
That's right.
And we haven't seen a divisional opponent since opening night against Vegas.
That's a really good
point.
Not
a single divisional game has been played between opening night and the end of this homestand. Like, that's wild. Like, we're now going to be a fourth of the way through the year and played 1 divisional game. After last year, we played only divisional games.
And the Ducks are, 3 points ahead of the Kings at the time of this recording. Yep. However, they've played an extra game.
And we'll have 2 extra games by the time
that's right
that we publish this bad boy because they played Washington last night. I'm going to predict that that game was 4-2 Capitals. And if I'm right, Jesse, you have to buy me a pair of the white gloves at the end of the year to wear in open hockey.
We'll see about that. All right. I'll buy you a white claw.
All right,
this season. I don't know about what.
All right, I'll take a white claw.
But yeah, so those are the big games for me. Ducks, games against the Ducks are always fun, obviously,
with yep.
the two fan bases. But that is an insane stat, the 20 games,
yeah.
and that'll be the second divisional opponent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, listen, schedule isn't everything, and obviously you don't, you know, everybody has different stretches in the schedule, hard, easy, whatever, so you never want to blame anything on the schedule, but it plays a role.
For sure.
And especially with that huge break in February for the Olympics, maybe.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I think they play a ton of divisional opponents down the stretch, right?
I mean, they have to, right?
Like, yeah,
but I mean, like the games that are, you know, where you're really looking at the standings, where they really impact. I think there is a nice stretch run where we do play teams.
I just feel like the league sort of made a pointed effort in recent years. Yeah, so you've got Anaheim twice in the last 2 weeks, Vancouver, Seattle. Actually, it's not that many. You've got Chicago, Columbus, Colorado, Chicago, Minnesota. All right, well, I was wrong.
Maybe it's a middle loaded divisional stretch.
Yeah,
or maybe
it sort of is.
After last year, it just feels like we don't play any divisional games because we played so many last year. Maybe it just feels like it's like, oh, you have to play. You only play, what, you know, a third of your games against divisional foes as it is.
Yeah.
So it's always going to feel light.
And I think we forgot last year.
Yeah.
With 16 teams in the other conference, that's 32 games. That's,
right.
You know, whatever. Not quite a third of your schedule.
But, right there. And then, yeah. You know, you get three times each team in the other division. So that's 32 plus 24. So that's 56 of 82. You're playing way more games against non-divisional opponents, but you kind of forget that.
Now, I'll ask you to make a prediction similar to Rich Hammond's. I'm not going to ask you about the new jersey on sale today.
Sure.
But I will ask you about the 7-game homestand.
Yep.
How many points out of those 14 points?
Should I go with 14? I don't know. I went with 22
on the alternate jerseys. 14 feels bold.
If the Kings go and get 9 points or more, it is a good homestand. It can be a little lower than that and be an sure. okay homestand. But in my mind, if you get 9 points of 14, it's a good homestand. So I'm gonna put them right around that mark. I think that's a homestand you're happy with if you get 9 points.
I'm gonna cut them some slack and say as long as they come away with 7 points.
You see, and that's I think if you get 7, it's a fine homestand.
Yeah.
I think you have to be above. I think you need to be. Maybe it's 8, but I think if you're 8 or 9, it's a good homestand. I think 7 is one where you're like, you know, they didn't really hurt themselves.
Right.
But it's not one where you're like the last one where it was 4 out of 5, where you're pumped. You're pretty pumped, I think, with 4-2-1. I don't know if you're pumped with, say, 3-3-1, but it's still pretty good.
I think a lot of it would depend on which games went which way.
And how they went, right?
Yeah.
Like if you go, you know, 4 overtime loss, something crazy like that, it's different than if it's
like theoretically Washington, Carolina, and Calgary, or even Toronto. I mean, those are four tough opponents.
Right.
And then, you know, Arizona, Anaheim, and Ottawa. Well, Anaheim could also be a tough. I mean, they're ahead of us. So yeah, I'm gonna go with 7. You don't lose any ground in the 500
nope.
spot. And then you've got you know, you've got the rest of the season to play with. So that's, I'm going to go with 7.
Okay. I'll take the over. Take the over on 7.
Actually, I wasn't even making a prediction. I was just saying what I'd like to see. I'll match your 9. I'll say 9.
Let's go 9.
9 out of 14.
9 across the board.
That's the official All the King's Men position.
Yep.
It'll be a 9-point hope. And if they're, oops, if it's more, then great.
Then I'd be happy to be wrong if it's more.
Well, that is going to do it for this episode. Kings fans, thanks for listening. Again, go out, buy those jerseys. The new, I don't know, what are we, they're not third jerseys, they're
alternates.
Not, yeah.
I think it's an alternate officially. Yeah, on sale now.
That's right.